The gospel for today is recorded in Matthew, the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 22. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by the time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of our Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Let all the living God fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God fall fresh on me. Help me, mold me, fill me.
Heavenly Father, as we have prayed this hymn, again, we ask you to fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on each one of us this day. And now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Those of you who know me a little bit, and a few of you do, know that when the tide's going out, I'm oftentimes going in the opposite direction. Or when the tide's coming in, again, I'm oftentimes going in the other direction. Simply, I oftentimes tend to run against the current. That's maybe why I like you guys. And maybe why some of you sort of maybe like me. We don't always follow the crowd. So I came here with a sermon prepared. Got off the airplane Monday with that sermon that I had worked on, honed, sharpened as best as I could, practiced even back home. I thought close to done, something I felt appropriate, uplifting, and ready to go, ready to lay it on you. And so when I stepped off the plane Monday, I thought, hey, there was good times ahead, fishing, walking the streets, friends. So about the first thing I did was come over to the office to meet Gladys and see if things were ready. And she handed me 2 sheets of paper and said, here's some stuff that Chicago sends out, and it helps those who are preaching get ready for Sunday. Well, I've never used Chicago's help. That's a part of my innate rebellious nature. But this time I thought maybe I'd better do it. So I took these 2 sheets of papers and read through it. I came to a section called Ideas for the Day, which I will read. Much sermonic attention is given to Peter's attempt to stroll out on the turbid waters that we just read about. We try to analyze or psychologize why Peter sank. Lack of faith in God? Did he take his eyes off Jesus? Isn't insufficient trust? Or did he succumb to the fear of the windstorm? We know one thing for certain. Peter sank because he left the boat. If he had stayed in the boat among the community of believers, he would not have... No, not sank, sunk. When we, like Peter, leave the community of the faithful as represented by the boat, our odds of sinking increase Perhaps our message, get this, perhaps our message for this Sunday is stay in the, remain in community, rely on one another, and worship together, strengthened by the presence of Christ. Wow. I couldn't believe it. Wow, I couldn't believe it. Chicago suggesting that the importance of this text is that we stay in the boat. Wow. Jesus said to Peter, get out of the boat. Chicago says, stay in the boat. Jesus invited Peter to get out of the boat, causing Peter to ask, is this your command? To which Jesus answered, one word, come. Which I take to be his command. Wow. As I reflect upon my time in the church and my time in the church as a pastor, My calling has always been to get out of the boat and to set my feet on the water and to call my people, my congregation that God has entrusted to me, to join me where? On the water. For me, it's always been and always will be to do what Jesus says. And what did he say? It's your turn again. Come. And don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just get out of the boat and come, like Peter did. Don't fret about the wind. Just come. I shouldn't perhaps be so critical. There's not a whole lot of worth in being that way. Yet I can't help myself. Too many churches and too many church leaders, both pastoral and lay, it takes two to tangle. Too many prefer the comforts and security of the boat, feeling convinced that it's much better there than being on the water. Too many, in my opinion, play it safe, play it cozy. The wind, blowing or not blowing, many figure that the boat's the safer and better place to be. Rationalizing that while the boat may be rocking, still it's a whole lot better than being out on the water. Concluding, and I've heard it said over and over and over again, isn't it nice? Isn't it nice being in the boat? Such a good feeling. We're a community. We don't have to look beyond ourselves. Challenge me if I'm wrong about this. Jesus doesn't call us to be cozy. Jesus doesn't call us to play it safe, but does just the opposite. He calls us to do the impossible. He calls us to walk on water. I couldn't have had it cozier in 1974. When Mother Church at that time called me to get out of the boat. And I said to Jesus, I don't know about this. I'm not sure. I don't know if I want to do this. I've got it so good here. And they need me here, my inflated ego wanted me to believe. But Jesus said, get out of the boat, Al, and I'll be alongside you. So like Abraham, way back in early biblical recorded history, I left my Ur. I left my Babylonia. I left my flowering garden between the Tigris and Euphrates River. I left a powerful church and a wonderful community of saints, many dear friends, a place where I had it made. And no one really wanted me to leave. Believe it or not, some even cried, but especially my wife. But leave I had to, because Jesus said, come. Get out of the boat and remember you won't be alone. I'll be there when the wind blows. and I'll be there when it doesn't blow. Two Sundays ago, I revisited that place, that experience. Not the church that Al built, Amazing Grace in Anchorage, but the church which Jesus built. I was there two Sundays ago to that church that Jesus built, using those of us who were willing to leave the boat. How sad it is that Mother Church has sent out a very different kind of message to pastors throughout the ELCA. That perhaps the message for today should be to tell everyone worshiping to stay in the boat. How sad. How contrary to the simple yet complex invitation, instruction, and command by Jesus, who said to Peter and says to you and me, get out of the boat. I don't get it. The excitement isn't in the boat. The excitement is on the water. And think about our experience with Eden and Rugate. Think about that. Think about the times they spent in some of your homes and the relationships which you built. That was a walking on water experience for this church, an experience that is still going on. You haven't stumbled. You didn't sink because you caught the vision. You kept your eyes on Jesus, who said, come. And you went. And you've experienced and are still experiencing the incredible joy of walking on water with Eden and Rugate. However, to give some balance to this sermon, I must say something about the wind. There's always the wind. There are always the foot draggers, the no-sayers, those who may be indifferent, those who may be tired, and legitimately so. Those who just perhaps plainly want to be comfortable, enjoying the amenities, the potlucks and the padded pews, the pleasures of the boat. There's always a wind. There's always a wind. The doubters, the less committed, and even some of the faithful who for every reason just want to hold back, playing it safe. To which I readily admit that resistance isn't always bad. Resistance oftentimes brings out the best in us. Resistance oftentimes triggers the awakening of our conscience, keeping us honest, defining the task, challenging us to stay focused. Resistance oftentimes provides direction, stimulating our effort, and is good. No doubt there were some in the boat who told Peter, don't be a fool. Huh? Don't be a fool, Peter. Maybe he can walk on water, but walking on water just isn't for you. Stay put. Don't listen to him. Use your head. There's a raging wind blowing. It's dangerous. Away from the boat. Stay with us. But leave it to Peter. He was no doubt driven by two things. First, Jesus' invitation and his best friend's mentality. Don't be a fool. Resistance. And interestingly, that is exactly what oftentimes drives you and me someone's invitation and someone's saying, "Don't be a fool. It can't be done." I once convinced Nerys that we needed to start an intense Wednesday night Jesus teaching program for our 4th, 5th, and 6th graders in my church in Vancouver, Washington. From 5 o'clock to 7, starting with dinner. You've often heard it said that we lose our kids after confirmation. You don't see them much after confirmation. I was convinced we don't lose them after confirmation. We lose them before. We lose them before confirmation. We lose them during those most receptive years in their lives when they're fourth graders and fifth graders and sixth graders, when they will respond and accept and learn and grow and not rebel as they begin to do as they become teenagers. The power structure in our church said it couldn't be done. But I had convinced Nerys, one person, that we had to do it. That we had to get out of the boat. That what we had been doing wasn't working well and we had to be doing something differently. We had to turn the tide in that congregation where confirmation had become a graduation rather than an inauguration. Simply, we had to get out of the boat. We had to walk on water. Nerys was a Minnesota Swede who said to me, when many in the congregation said it couldn't be done, Nerys said, "You never tell a Swede no. You never tell a Swede no." Nerys, walking on water with Jesus beside her, led that congregation onto the water. When I left Messiah Lutheran Church and headed to Alaska in 1974 to walk on water with other people up there as we began Amazing Grace Lutheran Church, we had over 100 fourth through sixth graders learning about Jesus every Wednesday night, starting with dinner. Using as our text the classic book which I retrieved from your library downstairs, Hurlbut's Storybook of the Bible. Nerys enlisted over 30 adults, from setup people to cooks to teachers to cleanup people, making it happen, because Jesus had called her to walk on water. I don't want to be a Pollyanna this morning, leaving the impression that every time we get out of the boat to walk on water, that everything will be hunky-dory. But I do want to leave the strong impression that staying in the boat isn't what Jesus expects of us, even though maybe some people in our church are suggesting that. What this text is clearly about is what? Your turn. Come. Get out of the boat and come. Something I think Petersburg Lutheran Church has demonstrated pretty well. I think you're doing pretty good. From this sermon, try to remember one thing. The action isn't in the boat, but the action's on the water. That's all I'm asking of you this morning. Try to remember this one thing. The real action isn't in the boat, but amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this place, for these people, for their ongoing ministry. Thank you for Pastor Mike and his family. Thank you that this congregation has demonstrated that they're not afraid of walking on water, that they're not content to just sit in the boat. We pray your blessing upon them as they continue to reach out, touching the lives of others, because you have touched their lives. We pray your blessing upon them. Be with them in all that they strive to do, for we know that they are doing it for your sake and in your name, in whose name we pray. Together we say, amen.